I was walking into the room and I just saw this huge pile of surfaces on the side, and I thought, there's no chance like anybody's gonna come here today, right? I was just expecting you to be there. So really appreciate you being here. Good afternoon or good evening, good morning to those that are following online on Channel 9. My name is Giorgio Sardo. I work in the Windows Evangelist team here in Redmond. And I'm actually very pleased to represent my team today in talking about the Windows Store. There are a lot of developers and a lot of evangelists and enthusiast teams in Microsoft here in Redmond, as well as the rest of the world, that they've been working over the last months and years on Windows 8, working with partners, working with developers, doing events, and we're seeing a lot of excitement. It's really a great time to talk and to be part of this technology transition. And so this is a great time to talk also about the store and this new opportunity we've coming with Windows 8. This talk is going to be an overview of the store, and so I'm going to share with you some of the learnings, some of the best practices, some of the tips and tricks, and also get into the details of how the store works, how we can make money. After me, Drew Robbins will cover more the developer side of the story. So we'll go into Visual Studio, it will show you how to code what we see here into your project, into your application. And there are obviously other sessions here at Build, deep dives around advertising, around analytics, etc. The agenda for today is going to be focus on just four topics. We're going to start talking about the opportunity, and I want to share with you some of the numbers and some of the stories I collected like traveling around the world. Then we will talk about the monetization options. And so like, how do we make money? Like, what are the options on the Windows Store, and how does it compare to other stores in other platforms? And then after that, I'm going actually to show you the end-to-end process to publish an application, from when you have the package from Visual Studio up to when you are live with the package, and now you can start seeing all of the analytics. So I'm going to show you all of the behind the scenes of the store, so you can better understand like all of the phases and all of the steps involved. And lastly, we're going to close with, you know, promotion and discoverability. Everybody loves when their applications are successful. And so I'm going to share with you a few tips to make your application more discoverable. So let's start with the opportunity here. You probably saw this number before, but I kind of like, you know, when I think about this, it's kind of amazing to think what is the opportunity out there. Like the number that you see here, 450 million is the number of PC that Goldman Sachs is expecting to be sold between now and the end of the next year. New PC. That's the expectation from Goldman Sachs. On top of this, you need to add all of those licenses already sold on Windows 7, like I think we announced last week, 670 million Windows 7 licenses. And all of these PC that today are running Windows 7 are a great candidate to migrate to Windows 8, right? They just work great with Windows 8. And when you combine those two numbers together, I don't know what the sum is, but it's a big number. And even with a big round like margin of error, that's still a big number. And so think about those million of machines, 100 million of machines. What do they have in common? Any guess? Windows. They have in common a lot of tiles, or however you want to call it in your local language. I'm hearing like fun names for the tiles localized in the local languages. But they also have in common this red tile called Store. All of these machines, all of these Windows 8 comes with the Store application. Doesn't matter if it's a tablet, if it's a PC, if it's a laptop, they all come with one application, one single application called Store. And the Store goes to all of them. So it's not like there is one store for tablets, one store for PC, one store for all-in-one. There is one store that goes across all of these devices. Now, think about hundreds of millions of machines. Think about this application being like the channel to distribute and to push your applications. I'm personally excited. I love the idea that I can have one app, I submit it to the store, and it now reaches all of these devices. It's just great, isn't it? It is. And we've been working very hard with the Windows team to make sure that this experience, you know, like, is great for you developers as well as for consumers. You know, like, you have one application, you submit one application here, and this application will cover all of these machines around the world. And to make that possible, we also need to look into the specific details, right? It's not just easy as, yeah, just let's throw a store out there and see how it goes. As of today, the Windows Store is available in more than 230 consumer markets, which means that more than 230 countries today have access to the store. How many countries do we have in the world? Anybody? Shall we count them? So Italy, France, no, I'm joking, but it's probably pretty much the same, right? So I would say that we have coverage of all of the consumer world. And then, of course, it's not just about the consumer market, it's also about the languages. And so today, the store already accepts applications localized in more than 100 languages. And when we look at, in particular, the way we think about languages, we actually have two categories of languages. One is what we call certifiable languages, and the other one are allowed languages. Certifiable language means that your application must support at least one of those 40 in order to pass the certification. Allow language are all of those other languages that are permitted in addition to one of the others. And you can support as many languages as you want, from one to as many as you want. We also support developers from 120 markets, which means that there are 120 markets where we accept developers to sign up using their local system, their local credentials, their local identity, and we will talk about identity again in a second. And lastly, everybody likes to get money, right? And so, but everybody also hates to go through all of the pain, through the bank account, can I convert this currency? No, I don't take, like my bank is not going to accept like international currency. And so as of today, we already support more than 80 localized currencies. So I would expect that all of the people in this room have a different currency. We cover all of them. And so it's a huge opportunity. It's a huge reach. Now, let's make some number, right? Let's look at some number. I'll give you just an example. For example, when I was a developer, I always dreamed to become a millionaire. How many of you ever dreamed to become a millionaire? Okay, I'm not alone. Thank you. And so what does it take to generate $1 million? And if you look at all of these numbers and you start doing some statistics and then you look into the kind of like revenue model behind, let's assume that I have an application and I'm going to sell my application for $499. It takes 250,000 sales in order to get that sum. 250,000 downloads, people buying my application. Is that high? Is that low? Well, you would expect maybe it's a high number. But what does this mean compared to the opportunity? I'll tell you. That means 0.05% of the Windows customers. And so if your application reaches 0.05% of the customers, you're going to make $1 million. Is that attractive? Yes, I say yes. Yes, of course it's attractive. Now, does it mean that if you submit a calculator, you price it for $4.99, you're going to become a millionaire? No way. Sorry. Somebody tried, but it didn't work. You still need to build a good application, right? And we have a lot of sessions here about what does good means? Like, how do you improve the quality? How do you improve the user experience? And that's very important. You want to give something to consumers that they like or they want or they need, not just something that you use to make money yourself. That's not going to land well in the longer term. And so let me share with you a story. This is a story of a student. And actually, I have a little video for you. This is not one of the video where you cry and sing and stuff like that. It's just so this guy is playing the cello, and we could just let this play and enjoy it. This guy is Grant. He's a student at the Gillard University in New York. About 1 year ago, it was December, I met him one of my visits in New York, and we talked about some of his passion for music, right? Okay, I'll stop the video here. But we talk about music. And he was sharing with me the fact that he's not a developer. He never done any class of development. He's not a technical person. He's a musician. He understands music. But still, he wanted to do something with music beyond like his own expertise. He wanted to demonstrate to people and explain to people how music works. right? How do you take what he's doing here and how do you translate it? How do you show it and visualize it? And that's where he started, you know, he bought a book about C++. He looked into the MSDN, and he started writing his own app. And after a while, he released an app for Windows Phone, and shortly after, he released an app for Windows 8. That app, so the name of this student is called Grant, and so he called the app Grantophone. And this is the app, right? It looks simple, but it does its job. Like, as I swipe through the screen, you hear this sound, right? And what I'm basically doing is I'm designing my own sound with the various modulation and the various like waveforms, and I can have different effects. I can have different filters and different cutoff. And he published it to the store. This was his application. He built it like in maybe 8 weeks, 10 weeks. I was quite amazed because, again, he was not a developer. He was just an enthusiast, a musician. And so he gets the application to the store. And then I talked with him last week. And I asked him, hey, how is your application going? And he told me, you know what? I'm getting a lot of good reviews. Like, there are a lot of people that love my application. And I was like, great. And he actually shared also the number of people. Now, without getting into the detail, that number of people that tried this application was in the 100,000 people. So now think about a student, not a developer, writing an application because it's passion, publishing this application to the store, reaching all of those 230 markets around the world, and getting exposure for something that was his passion. Now there are 100,000 people around the world that are using this application and are using this application to show, explain music to maybe in their classes, maybe to their kids. I think that's pretty amazing. And then, obviously, I asked him, the application today is free. And so I asked him, are you planning to do some money with it? And he was like, yeah. Can you help me? Like, how can I make money with this application? Right? Of course. So he's a student. Like, I'm sure he wants to be successful. He's already been successful already, but he wants to go to the next step. And so I'm going to share, like, now a few ways, actually, we can monetize. This story applies to Grant as well as any developer, right? How do we make money? How do we monetize? And so it all starts with an application. You build an application, and then we talk about the store. It's never the opposite. If you start thinking, how do I make money, but you don't have an idea in mind, again, that's not going to work in the long term. And so you have an application. And with Windows, we really provide to you what we think is the best commerce experience across any platform. It's a no-compromise experience for the store. And it all starts from the Microsoft Commerce platform. And the Microsoft Commerce platform allows you to distribute your application for free, allows you to do trials, allows you to do paid apps. And we will get into the details of what this means. We also have a very rich set of advertisement and content from advertising publishers. And we call that, we made it available as part of the Microsoft Advertising SDK, which is integrated into Visual Studio, which is super easy and frictionless to use. And lastly, we provide analytics. Like, without analytics, it's difficult to know if you're performing well or not. And so we give you all of these services to help you distribute in your application in the Windows Store. This is what we provide. This is the Microsoft stack of services. And this is kind of expected, right? We have a store, of course you expect these services. But take a look at the other part of this chart. We also allow you to use your own commerce engines or third-party engines. This is new. This is not something that any competitor does today. And so if you have existing relations with your publishers, if you have existing subscription models or anything that you're already using today, you can use on the Windows platform. If you have an existing relation in terms of advertising content, you can use it on the Windows platform. If you have existing analytics, you can use it in the Windows platform. You can use any of these third-party services, and you can get 100% of the revenue out of that. We are not going to look into it. It's all yours. You use your third-party engine, great, we like it, and you're going to maintain 100% of the revenue of that. How is it? Do you like it? Yes. Thank you. I think that's pretty good if you think about it, like 100% of the revenue. Tell me another platform that allows you to do this today. OK, I'm not hearing anything. So I'm going to move next. And so how do you make money again? Well, the easy scenario is you sell your application. And once you sell the application, if you're using our APIs, obviously the commerce is, APIs are going to have a revenue share model where you take 70% of the revenue up to $25,000. And then once you go beyond that threshold, you maintain 80% of the revenue. And so this is, again, another way for us to help you maximizing the revenue. And this is very competitive. Offering in compared to any other platform. If you want to do trials, which we encourage, we provide all of the APIs to implement very easily trials for your applications. You might think, like, why do I need to do trials, right? Like today, if you look at other stores, there are a lot of duplicates where you have a free apps and you have the paid apps. And there are pros and cons of that approach. We believe that trial offer the best experience to consumers for many reasons. For example, you know, the user is going to start using one application, potentially is going to unlock game in a game, is going to unlock levels or is going to make customizations, etc. When he's ready to do the next step, he doesn't want to restart with another new application. He just wants to continue that experience and upgrade it to the full version. And also, consumers don't like to download multiple applications and have the free and the paid and another paid. They just like to have one application, and that becomes their application. When we look at the history from Windows Phone, so everything we learn with the Windows Phone Store, we learn that applications that support trials have 70 times more downloads than the paid-only application. And eventually, that 70 times more downloads turn into a 10% conversion rate. And the 10% conversion rate is still going to secure you more than 10 times revenue. Okay, so it's really more convenient. Like in other words, it's very convenient for you to implement trials in your application if you're planning to sell your application for a price. Also, I'm not sure about you, but like when I go to the store and I see an application that costs, you know, $20 without the trial, you know, I'm a bit skeptical, like, what is this application going to do? And so I'm going to look at the screenshots. But if I had a trial, like, then my likeliness to download the application and eventually do the next step and buy the full app increase, especially if you have a great app. Another way to monetize your application is the in-app commerce. And so you might sell your application for free, and then inside the application, so after the user already got the application, you have additional items or additional features to monetize it. And it starts from one-time payment. One-time payment means, for example, a trial. It's a one-time payment. Or it could be a future trial. Trial, normally, when we think about a trial, we think about time, right? We think this is going to be free for 10 days and then it expire. In Windows, in the Microsoft Commerce platform, we also support featured-based trials, which means you might have the full application for free, and then you have a future of that application, which is provided to the user as a trial. And we give you all of the APIs to easily manage this and easily track it and easily connect it to your analytics and see how it performs. We also support purchases over time. And purchases over time, it's actually a new concept. It's quite innovative, which means think about, for example, the idea of buying content, right? Of course, like, you are in the application, you have a game, and you want to buy a new level, you just do the purchase one time. Or we allow you to buy content that expire. So for example, let's say it's Christmas, and you have an application that has, helps you to create, the Christmas card to send to people. And then maybe you buy a package of Christmas images and assets that last only for those 4 weeks and then expire. That would be a future trial. And then, of course, this is all Microsoft Commerce. If you want to use third-party commerce, you're welcome to bring your own third-party commerce. And so you can have subscriptions, you can have any other type of consumables. You can have any type of commerce model that you're already using today. So let's take a look at a few demos. So I'll go back to my machine. And I'm going to show you a few demos here of what developers around the world did. And the first application I'm going to show you is called Bold Strike. This is from Hungary, it's one of my favorite games. It's similar to Kinect, so I select one level. Ready? Yes. All right, so that's me. In green. And then the goal here is to catch the ball, right? Oh. Have you seen this before? Oh. This is a nice application, right? It's not as accurate as Kinect, but it's still fun. Okay, you got the point. Oops. You can also see then the screenshots after the game. Now, after you're done playing the game, you can see here like the business model that this developer decided to use. They have levels that are free, the first levels. And then as I click, for example, the level 4, that's where it brings the Microsoft Commerce. And that's where it's saying, OK, I want to do an in-app purchase. And so if you pay me $3.49, I'm going to unlock a new number of levels for you. And this is a great way for the users to start testing and getting a sneak preview of your application and then turn into the full-flag product. So this is an example of Microsoft Commerce. And you can see the experience is very integrated. It feels very simple, like one click, and then I get through and I can continue playing my application. You don't even need to restart to go to other application. It's just a smooth experience end-to-end. A different type of model is coming from, for example, newspapers. I'm Italian. For me, it was very difficult when I moved here in Seattle to follow the Italian news. Like, it's almost impossible to find an Italian newspaper here in Seattle. And so I'm so happy that one of the national newspapers, like it's called Repubblica in Italy, decided to bring their application, like their content online. And so I can get the latest publications from Repubblica. And as I click at the content, you will see that they choose a different business model. This is not Microsoft APIs. Okay, I know that there are a couple of Italians in the room, and probably everybody else right now is thinking, what the hell does it say? And so I'll translate it for you. The four images that you see here, those are four telco providers, like AT&T, Vodafone, whatever. And they're offering me to use my personal telco provider to pay for the subscription to this newspaper. So it's completely unrelated to the Microsoft Commerce. They already had their own infrastructure to process payment and to process subscriptions, and this is completely allowed in Windows 8. All of the revenue that they get from this application go directly to them. 100% of the revenue goes to, in this case, Repubblica. And this is the same model that has been used by other popular applications already in the store, like New York Times, like the Financial Times in UK, the Telegraph, et cetera, et cetera. The other demo that I want to show you, this is another game. This game comes from a developer called Grant Skinner. This game is in the store today. And as the developer looked into new opportunities to monetize their application, they actually came up with a model that works with the new PayPal APIs. Today in the keynote, we talk about PayPal as being one of the third-party commerce engines that are going to come soon to the Windows 8 platform. We're excited, actually, that their APIs and their SDK is going to be available just in a couple of weeks from now. And this is a preview of what the PayPal experience could look like. So I start my game, and you can see here that I have a number of boards that I just need to unlock. And then as I get to the more complex levels, I'm actually offered to upgrade my game and buy new content, in this case, maps for my Pirates map. And so as I click on Lost Island, now we are connecting to PayPal, and we're using the PayPal backend to buy that level. And you can see that I can just log in with my PayPal account, or I can log in with my Sell account. And that is going to conclude the transaction. Again, this is an example of third-party account using, in this case, the PayPal API. And it's a very smooth experience. It's a very integrated experience into Windows 8. So we talk about in-app purchase, and we talk about subscriptions. Another very common way to monetize your application is through advertising. Some people hate advertising. Some people love advertising. But the reality is that it's a very viable model to sell application like freemium application, where you have an application that is free but with ads, and then basically you pay to remove the ads from your application. And so Microsoft offers a Microsoft Advertising SDK, which provides really like great content. And I have here a few screenshots of like possible ads. Normally, like you're not excited to look at ads, but this time I want to show you a few because I think you know, like the advertising team did a very amazing job pulling together some great content from publishers. And so the first application I'm going to show you is from the Sounders. Any Sounders fan in the room? Is this Seattle? Like for those of you that don't know, it's Seattle soccer team. And so this is an application that they're working on. You can see it's quite beautiful. And then as I get to the end, you see this, I'm not supposed to say the brand. Do you see these shoes? Right? What do you think? Like it's an immersive experience. It's not like the usual type of ad. And as I click on Explore Predator, actually you see a new type of application on top of what we were looking at before. And I can now browse, and I can now navigate, and I can look at different objects inside my ad. So this is an example of very interactive ad, right? Not all of the ads will be like this, but this is the goal. This is what we're getting with the Microsoft SDK, advertising SDK. And this is really feels like an integrated experience, like it's a nice experience for the end user. Let me show you a few others. There is a session, by the way, on advertising where they're going to go into more details. But this is like a very quick run through of a number of different ad models. So you see like a little banner on the left. You see a tile here, Gears of Wars. Flight. I'm going to show you my favorite. This is my favorite. And you can probably guess why. As I click on this car, 500, you can see that now I have a nice carousel of videos and pictures. I'll show you this video, which is, you can see like I'm navigating through the ad, and I kind of like the experience of being inside an ad, right? I personally do. Like I never got so excited to navigate inside an ad. And all of this is already like available today, right? So as you start plugging the advertising SDK from Microsoft into your application, this is the content that you're going to get, almost for free because like it's very easy to integrate. And Drew later is going to show you how. Oops. Yeah, this is an example of how we drive in Italy. All right. Now that you learn how the advertising platform works and how we drive in Italy, let's get into the meat, right? Let's get into the submission process. How do I submit my application, right? Let's assume that you already have your application. How does it work? Well, the first thing you need to do is create a developer account. The developer account is what you use to build your application, right? The first time you open Visual Studio, it asks you, hey, put here like your credential for the developer account. The developer account is free. So developing and testing an application is free for everyone. Doesn't matter if you're a company, a student, an enterprise, an OEM, it's free for everyone. And we also provide free tools, for example, Visual Studio Express. Of course, we have like premium SKU of the tools, and we have like TFS, and we have like a lot of great services. But the basic, the core engine is free and available to everyone. To submit the application to the store, that's when you need a store account. And the store account is free for students, is free for startups, and is free for MSDM subscribers. And so if you fall in any of these categories, you already get like a free store account. You can log in into your portal, into the MSDM portal, and you will just find there the token that gives you access for free to the store. If you're an individual, so if you are just like an independent developer, you can create like an individual account in the store, and that's going to cost $49, which obviously is localized to your local currency. And if you're a company, you're going to pay $99. And it gives you access to the store. So let me show you an example of like what the experience looks like when you first create the account. So I already log in here on my machine. This is a new account. I just went to the developer portal for Windows 8, and I can choose the country where I'm coming from as a developer, and then I can choose the type of the account. Now, what is the difference between individual and company? Like, I get a lot of questions. Is it better to be a company? Is it better to be an individual account? It really depends. There are a number of differences, but the main one that I want to call out is that if you register as a company, we will need to validate your name, your publishing name. And so, for example, if you try to register as the company, I don't know, Microsoft, we will probably check if you're really Microsoft, right? As an individual, if you call yourself Microsoft, you know, that's your name as an individual, and so it does have, unless you, you know, violate specific trademarks, it's okay. And then other differences are when you submit the application, there are a number of capabilities inside your application. For example, access to the document folders or access to enterprise authentication and documents. And if you need to use those capabilities in your application, then you will need a company account. And all of those details are actually explained in detail on the MSDN. It's also very important the country that you select as a developer, in your store account, because the country eventually will drive the next steps. And so depending on which country you are in, we're going to use different models to validate your account. Normally we use GeoTrust, and GeoTrust is going to help us to validate your identity. And so for example, let's choose here, let's say I'm a company, and I click Next, and then of course I'm asked a number of information from my name, province, etc. And then I have also an approver info. Approver info is basically a person in my company that can say, yes, Giorgio is working in this company. I can verify that. And so in the approver info, make sure that you use an account, like an email address that is part of the company. So if the company is Contoso, that email address should be contoso.com. If you put like an hotmail.com or an outlook.com into the verifier name, like you might fail or you might delay the GeoTrust verification. And then lastly, it's the most important part, your publisher name. How are you going to call yourself? Microsoft, Microsoft Inc., Microsoft Corp., Microsoft LTD? You know, like there are a lot of options. And it's important as a company that you think carefully about what name you want to use as a publisher name. And that name will also need to match the documents that you send to the GeoTrust verification in the next step. So, for example, we will ask you documents. This is like a standard procedure, but we will ask you documents that can certify the fact that that company is registered and exists in your local country. And there must be a match of these names. Once you click Next here, then we're going to start verifying your account. And this process takes from a few days to a couple of weeks normally. It really depends on the documents that you're submitting. A couple of best practices here. The first, make sure that you send us valid documents. If you send us documents that are expired, that are fake data, etc., eventually GeoTrust is going to find out, and it's just going to respond to you, and you're going to make that process longer. The second thing is that you will get contacted. You will be contacted by the GeoTrust team eventually at some point, either by email or by phone. And so you want to make sure to read and be responsive of their emails. And if they ask you a specific question, make sure to respond as soon as possible. A lot of these emails often goes to the spam folder, so also take a look at that. From there on, you're done. You created your store account. Your store account goes into verification, and you now have access to the portal. So I'm going to close this. Now close your eyes. Promise? Are you closing your eyes? Open your eyes. Welcome to the Windows Store. Now we just approve your account automatically on my machine. And this is like the first thing you're going to see once you just click Next on the previous step. At this point, my account might not be verified yet. So it's possible that you can start already editing and submitting an application, even if your publisher name or if your developer account has not been approved yet. And we want to do this to give you visibility over the next steps, as well as to accelerate the overall process. And so what we're going to do now, in real time, we're going to submit an application to the store. And I'm going to show you exactly step by step how the submission works. Are you ready? Excellent. So we need an application. Anyone? Can I take an application from you?
Northwind.
Northwind? Do you want me to write it right now, like open new project Northwind? Actually, I have one that I was working on. It's a teaser to my next session. This is my application. So I'm the Yeti, and I need to hit, I need to hit the zombies here, or the cowboy. And then when I hit everything, I won, right? So this is my simple game. And let's pretend that we want to submit this game into the store. And so I'm going to go here, and I'm going to say submit an app. You see immediately that there are a number of steps. And the reason we have steps is really to help the submission process and make sure that it's modular. And you can come and go back and come at different times. We save for you all the history. So you don't need to do all together. You can do this as a progressive process. But the very important step actually is the first, is app name. And the app name is where you reserve a name for your application. Across all of the things that I'm telling you today, the most important thing is make sure to reserve your name as soon as possible. We're seeing a huge momentum of developers that are coming to the store and are registering and reserving names. You know, it's possible that names is like, it's like a lottery, right? They go out quickly. So if you want to have good names, you need to be here earlier. And so to make sure that I have a new name here, that my name exists, I'm going to call my application. There's a Yeti at build. Okay, hopefully nobody already submitted an application with this name. So I'm going to reserve the application, done. Save. At this point, I could close the PC and come back in 2 weeks, come back in 1 month. I have my name reserved, and I can go back to the development team and say, guys, come on, I have the name reserved. Now let's build it. Let's submit it. In this case, let's go to the next step, selling details. Selling details is where you decide how you want to price it and how you want to distribute your application. Let me zoom in. And you see that I can pick a price tier. And so it could be free, or it could be, let's say, $149. And then if you have a trial, actually, if you want to do a trial, you can also decide here in this menu how long you want the trial to be. It could be always, forever, or it could be a time-based trial. Notice that as a developer, I didn't do anything in my application in order to enable this trial. And so I could just build my application. And then when I go to the store, I say, but I want it to last only for 7 days. And then the store and Windows will be smart enough to attach the right code into your app and to make it expire after that specific time frame. So in this case, for example, I'm going to say, I want to give it for free for 7 days and then expire. The next session is markets. And then you see this huge list of markets, right? Those are the store markets I was talking about earlier. And this is where you can decide which markets you want to distribute your application to. The suggestion normally is, obviously, select as many markets as you can. Like, go as broad as you want. This is the suggestion. Let's say there are specific applications that might not make sense in one of those markets, or there are applications that have content that might not be allowed in one of these markets. And so it's up to you developers, like we give you the flexibility to decide where you want to distribute the application to. A common question that I get is, does my app need to be localized in, Portuguese, if I want to submit it to the Portugal market? And the answer is no. We allow you to submit your application with your language to the Portugal market. And I'll show you why later. And so if we continue here, we can decide when we want to release the app. That could be as soon as you pass the certification, or we can set like a specific time frame in the future. I can set my category. So let's say this is a game. It's a kids game. And then I can select like specific features. For example, does it require a specific version of DirectX? Or does it require specific memory? In this case, I'm fine with the default. I completed the second step. And as I completed the second step, you can see that actually it saves and it remembers everything. So again, it's a very modular process to make this very easy for developer. Advanced feature is where you pick your in-app purchases items. And so let's say that your game allowed to buy a specific game pack, then you can put like a product ID here. You can choose the price for your game pack, and then you can put like the eventually like a time expiration on that game pack. So exactly what we talked about before is available within the portal with almost zero need for code. I'm going to leave the default. In this case, I don't have anything to declare. Age rating. The age rating is actually a fun part of the process. What do you think is the age rating for my game? 18? 3 plus? 3 plus plus? 5? So within this room, we have 5 different age ratings. And that's where I say it's an interesting process, right? Because it's difficult to agree on what the right age rating is. Reality is that it depends on some, also on the country and the culture, right? Something that might be considered completely immature and like almost illegal in US is like normal when you go to Europe, right? I come from Europe, so I'm like, what are you talking, guys? Like, this content is perfectly allowed in Europe. And so you need to be responsible here. We want to provide, let's remember that we want to provide a great experience to the consumers, to our customers, right, to your customers. And so we need to be respectful, and we need to understand like what the local culture could be. And so if you're submitting an application to all the countries in the world, you cannot expect that all the countries will just think like your specific country, right? And so in general, the rule is, you know, you will find a lot of documentation that goes through the age rating on the MSDN. Like, we have a lot of learning to share. In general, I would say if you're not sure about, for example, 7 and 12, go for 12. If you have a game in particular, and if in your game you're killing people, like, and you see the blood boom and head exploding, go for the 16 or like go for the higher. Just don't assume that, that's fine, my kids are playing with it, so any 3+ years old is going to be fine. You know, this is really, we trust you will make the right decision, and we provide a lot of content on the MSDN to help you making the decision. When it comes to games in specific, in particular, you will find here that specific countries require specific kind of certification for your games. And those certifications kind of actually help you driving the right age for that game. I will not get into the details, but like there are different games rating boards, depending if you're in US, in Asia, in Europe. And so if your game requires the specific, sorry, if your region requires a specific certification, this is where you can upload the certificate. In my case, I would say, you know, my game is probably not good for 3+ years old, come on. I would put it between the 7 and the 12. And so because I'm unsure, I'm going to select 12. And I'm going to save. Cryptography, so if your application is using cryptography, just for legal reason, you need to declare it. In my case, I'm not using it, so I confirm that I'm not using it. And then we get to the packages. And packages is where you actually submit the developer package of your app. So let's go to my folder, my app assets. I have here my package. And you will see in the next session how to generate, actually, this package. So this is basically coming from Visual Studio. It's all of your code, compile, package it, and ready for submission. The store already does a quick analysis to make sure that it has all the right files, so you don't get failures later. And then you can just save it, and you can continue your process. And then you get into the description. So the description is, this is an awesome game. Download it. And what I want to say about the description is, be factual and be true. Don't say things that your app doesn't do. If you're the store team, when certify your application, will actually read the description. And if you say in the description, oh, my game allows you to fly with a spaceship, and then the game is about a Yeti, you're going to fail. Sorry. We really want to make sure that the consumer, to set the right expectation with consumers. And so everything that is called out into the description needs to be implemented inside the application. You can select features, you can select keywords. I'm not going to get into all the details. You can select the copyrights, Giorgio, and then you can send screenshots. And we encourage you to send as many screenshots as you can. Screenshots are very valuable for the user to understand what the app is about. And the next section is actually, you know, like a marketing session, is promotional images. And a lot of developers, you might be surprised, but just skip this section. Like, I don't need promotional images. My application is, I already sent all the material for my app. This is actually very important for one reason. If you expect or if you wish to be promoted in the store, we need to have promotional assets. And if you don't give us promotional assets, it becomes very difficult for us to promote you in the spotlight or in other areas of the store. And so we encourage you to send you all of the assets, all of the four formats, right? Because we have different type of positioning and placement, and so we need different assets to be able to consider you for promotion. I have a support info contact. This is my email, giorgio@contoso.com. And then the privacy policy. How many of you know what a privacy policy document is? Okay, a few of them. A privacy policy document, I'm not a lawyer, right? I'm a developer. But it's a document that explains to the consumer, to your customers, what you're going to do with the data that you collect or that you might collect in your application. We'll talk about it in a second, but if your application requires the internet connection, the internet capability, and that's by the way, it's like enabled by default in Visual Studio, it is possible that at some point your application will gather data from the user and will submit it to your backend services somewhere, right? I'm not saying that you will collect it, but it's possible that you might collect it. Because we, Microsoft, or the user in general, don't know what the application is going to do, you need to provide a certificate to the consumer saying, I promise you that I'm not going to do anything bad with your data. Or, I promise you that if I'm collecting the accelerometer or if I'm collecting the camera, you saw like the game earlier, right? If I'm taking screenshot of you, it's just for the purpose of the game. I'm not building like my own dashboard of players around the world. And so that document is called privacy policy. And it can be a very informal document. You don't need a lawyer to build it. Like I could write my own document where I say, I'm going to do this in my application and I promise that I'm not going to do specific usage, like bad usage. And if your application is connected to the internet or requires the internet capability, you must have a privacy policy URL here. You must have. And I want to be clear, you must have a privacy policy if you need internet. You must have a privacy policy if you collect information from sensors, from camera, from GPS, from accelerometer. You must have a privacy policy URL here. We've seen a lot of failures for apps that were collecting all sorts of data but didn't declare a privacy policy. Unfortunately, we have to fail that scenario. So I want to be very clear on this. And so in my case, for example, let me ask you, do I need a privacy policy in my case? Yes? No? Camera. I didn't have camera. In my case, I mean like the Yeti game. All right, there was a picture, but good point. If it was part of, if it was the camera API, absolutely yes, there was a picture. I actually need it because when I created the Visual Studio project, the internet capability is turned on by default. I didn't remove it, and so I need to submit a privacy policy. Because I really don't need the internet capability, I could just uncheck it from my application package, and then I would not need it anymore here, okay? And so I save, and then that leads me to the last beautiful step. So we're almost ready to send this application to the testers, yes? Instruction for the testers. Instruction for the tester is not a place for you to communicate and to say, hey, how's it going? What are you doing today? It's a way for you to communicate any information that the tester will need to test your application. And you need, again, to be very concise. You can imagine, like, we're getting a lot of applications. And we want to be able to process them as quickly as possible, so we need your help here to make sure that you provide the minimum required assets for the certification. And so, for example, let's say that you provide a service where you need the user need to authenticate with a login and a password. You need to provide a test account for the user, for the tester, like an email and a password that they can use, just as a test. And it needs to be inside here. I saw some submission where they say, sure, go and visit my blog. And then inside of my blog, go into the third blog post. And from there, you find a link to another video. And in the video, you find a link where you can download a software. And if you install the software into the server farm, then you can set up your environment, and then you can test my application. That application failed, right? And so the scenario is, in this case, create a server farm somewhere with a test environment and provide the minimum information for the tester team to be able to test it on their side. In this case, I don't need anything, so I can just leave it blank. So I done everything. You can see that actually the store has me with this check view, and I'm ready to submit it. Are you ready? bam, submit for certification. And what you notice here is that an error at the top, and it says, oops. We can't list your app in the store until you have configured a payout account. And remember, like I said, I want to get 149 for this app, but I didn't fill my account with the payout and the taxes. And so that's why we are kind of like blocking already the certification. You might also see a warning here. If your account has not been validated yet, you might get a warning at this point. And then what's beautiful about the process is that you actually see all of the next steps this package is going to go through, from this automated security test to the technical compliance, which is called WAC, into the content compliance, which is like going through all of the policies, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so we're going to leave it here. Now I'm going to go back to the deck, and I'm going to show you a few more things. We just submitted the application for certification. What is going to happen? Two options, right? Option one, it passed the certification. Yes. Option two, it failed the certification. Too bad. And so failing certification is normal. Like, you should not take it personally. Like, I saw some developers saying, no, I failed. No. How is it possible? It's normal, especially if the first submission that you do. And the best way to avoid to fail certification is actually to read the documents. And I know that all of us, when they see a README document, they just skip it and say, yeah, I know everything. But actually, this time, you really need to read the documents and read the documentation on the MSDN because they help you avoiding certification failures. And so in case you fail, I have three suggestions for you. First, run the WAC tool locally. And the WAC is a set of automated tests that comes with Visual Studio, and you can just run it on your machine. Run it on a clean machine, which means simulate an environment. Like the testing team is basically going to simulate an environment where there is a new fresh image of Windows, and they're going to install only your application. And that's how they're going to test it. And also test it on, if you're submitting your app for Windows RT, make sure that you test it on lower performance hardware or on ARM devices. You're going to get one today, and if you can't, just use the emulator. Make sure that you use best practices to keep all of the code asynchronous so that it can run quickly. In case you hit a certification issue, I would suggest you to go and read the requirements for the policies, and we are very transparent over the policies and how we're going to test the application. We have a list of requirements. And again, we provide details and examples of when what you're suggested to do and when you're going to fail. And if you fail, we also have a link that says how to prevent or how to fix that failure. And I'm going to share these links. They're part of the deck, so you will be able to get it later. And lastly, if you failed but you don't know exactly what's going on, like you are not able to find any documentation on the MSDN, we have a support team. It's always available. Depending on the country, it's available by phone, it's available on live chat, it's available by email with a turnout of 24 hours, that are going to help you locate in the right content and the right documentation. In general, expect that the documentation that we have on the MSDN is the best place to look for certification failures. Like I get a lot of emails from developers that say, my app failed, help me to understand why. And 99% of the times, the why is part of those two links that I have on the slide. So just read the document. It's easy to understand. Now, I'll go through some of the common failure and just explain you like why application fails. 1.2 policies say your application must be functional, and so must be fully functional. If you fail this policy, most likely it's because you say something in the description of the app that you didn't do in the app or the tester couldn't find. In the app, you say, coming soon, right? This is the easy way for the developer to skip some job and say, yeah, I'm going to do this later. Coming soon, like more to come. If that is the primary feature of the application, well, eventually that's going to fail certification. And lastly, like one common one for music applications is if you have music, if you do streaming, if you play music in the background, make sure to support the media control correctly. 3.8 is about performance. You're going to fail this test if your application is low. So if you fail this, there is one way you can check it on your machine, which is running the WAC tool, like the automated test. It might work on a machine with very high performance, but it might fail on a lower-end machine. So be creative in how you do the test, and make sure also to test on lower-end hardware. Like, that's the best suggestion I can give you to make sure that you pass this. For one, we talk about privacy policy. If your application needs the internet connection or is collecting data and you don't provide a privacy policy, both in the metadata and in the settings, for example, let me take this. This is the settings. Oops. This is the setting of my application. And you can see here that I have a privacy policy document. That's mandatory. So you need to provide the privacy policy both here in the setting charm bar as well as a metadata information. And lastly, 6.5 is about localization of the app. And so if you localize the language, if you, from Visual Studio, in the manifest of the application, you can say, you can describe which languages your app is going to support. And if you say, my app support, I don't know, Italian, all of the content of the app needs to be translated in Italian. Like the Chrome UI, the content, the videos, everything needs to be in Italian. If you say, my application is localized in Italian, but then you have just a few keywords or like 20% of the content is localized, then you might have issues with this policy. There are cases and circumstances where you might have multiple languages inside your app, right? So what do? If you have multiple languages, I would suggest you mark only the main language as the language that you support in the application. And then in the notes to the testers and in the description of the application in the store, explain and clarify that with the consumer. This application is mainly in Italian, but it also has English content because it's relevant to my audience, because this is pertinent to the English community. And that will help you. Like that, being open also from your side with your customers will help you eventually go over this certification. Once you submit the application, you can also get a lot of analytics from the store itself. I was planning to do a demo of this, but actually the next speaker, Drew, is going to go into the details of how the dashboard and how the analytics into the store works. And so I'm going to close with the promotion. We built our application. It's somewhere there sitting in one of our servers here, and we want to promote it to the store. And if you look at the store in Windows 8, it all starts from a store screen. This is like your home. And then from the home, you can jump into a category, and you can browse application in the category. Or you can go into an editorial promotion. So the editorial team, for example, could create applications that are great for Christmas, applications that are great for developers. And from here, you jump into the description page. So one common question is, how do I get to the spotlight, right? How do I get featured here? And here's a few tips. There is not like a rule. Like, it's not like if you pass all of these, then you will be promoted into the spotlight. But they help you to improve the quality of your app. And so the first tip is easy. Build an awesome app. Build a quality app. This is simple, but really, build a great app and invest the effort. Because if you invest the effort now, you will get the return later. Then we also encourage you to follow the UX guidelines. And so we have a lot of content on the design.windows.com that helps you explain like how it works with the app bar, the charm, like what are this new metaphor and this new UX paradigm. So we encourage you to use all of these. We also encourage you to make your application available across all of the architecture. And so we like to promote apps that are available on as many devices as possible. Again, this is not like a must have. This is a suggestion. You remember the assets in the submission process? Submit those assets. If we don't have promotional assets, then it's going to be like we're going to have a white screen to promote your app, which, you know, would not be good. And lastly, follow up on the user reviews. Users are going to provide you feedbacks. They're going to like the app. They're going to make suggestions. They are your audience. And so we want to make sure that you satisfy your users. We also have a few other ways we can promote the app on our side. One of these is called Bing. And so, for example, I'm here on Bing, and I'm going to search for one of the apps that is in the store, Fruit Ninja. And I see generic results here. But as I scroll down to the bottom, you see here, I actually have one result which is pointing me to the application in the store. So one click, and now I'm into the store. And so this is one way we help you making your apps more discoverable. Another way is for you to make this transition is going through the browser. And so if you are, for example, inside Internet Explorer 10, right now I'm looking at the cutdrop.ie website. And as I click this button here, the website knows that there is an app because I have a couple of meta tags. And once I click that icon, you can see here that I have a switch to cutdrop app. And the website is going to connect me to the application. In this case, I already have the application installed on my machine, and so I launched the application. If the user didn't have the application, it will go to the store, and it would help the user discover your application into the store. So this is another great way to make your app discoverable. And then let's close with what are the next steps. So we talk about the opportunity, we talk about the monetizations, we talk about the submission process. The next step is create an account. So you know now how to create an account, you know how much we need to pay. Reserve your application name. And you can do this immediately. You don't need the package of the application yet. You saw how easy it is, right? You can just go into the store and reserve as many names as you want. Fill the submission metadata, so work with your team to get all of the right assets and all of the packages. Submit your application for certification. Good luck. And then promote your application. And you can see here, for example, a few approved banners from Windows. I have a link in the next slide where you can download these banners as well as many more assets. And you can use those in your site. You can use them on a print. Like you can use, you will find all of the guidelines to use these promotional assets. After this session, there's going to be Drew that is going to get into the technical details of how we implement monetization into your app.